Welcome to the first episode of the Crown House podcast. In this episode today, I'm talking to the head, Mrs. Sarah Hobby, and we're also joined by Siri, a year six pupil in the school. Let's jump into this episode right now.
Welcome to the Crown House podcast, where you can find out more about the school. Each episode, we'll be speaking to people in the school community to let you, the listener, discover what life is really like at the school. But enough of this intro, let's get into this episode right now.
So today we're talking to Mrs. Hobby, and we've also got Siri, who's in year six. First of all, Siri, hello, how are you today?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very good indeed, thank you. I'm very good indeed. In fact, I'm really glad you asked me that, because quite often when children are in year six, or just when they're in a prep school, quite often they don't say that. They just say, I'm very good, thanks. Mrs. Hobby, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good. We've got Siri here with us. A quick question for you, first of all. Why were you keen for Siri to be on this podcast? I mean, I feel very privileged to have Siri here on the first episode of the podcast, but why were you particularly keen to have her with us today?
So Siri is a really important person at Crown House. She is our head of house. She's our head girl. And for me and for the rest of the staff, she really embodies what Crown House produces at the end of their time here. So the way that we vote for the heads of houses at Crown House is all the staff members have a vote, and we have two heads of school, and Siri was a unanimous vote. Actually, Siri, you didn't know that, did you, before?
No.
Siri, that's amazing. How did it feel for you when you heard that you were voted in?
It was very good. And all my friends supported me, and it was a privilege to be voted as head of school.
And what are some of the things that you need to do as head of school then?
So, like, if any of the younger pupils feel like scared or something, or like sad, they can talk to one of like the heads of school. Or like sometimes in assembly, we like talk to the whole school and like make speeches.
Wow. And how does that feel when you talk to the whole school? Do you get a bit scared?
Well, my first time it was, but then I kind of got used to it. So it's like not that scary now.
That's really good. Do you think it's good then to be scared from time to time? Because then it helps you to be not scared afterwards.
Yeah, it's like when you're scared first, it's like a bad, not like the good feeling. But when you like overcome it, it's like a good feeling to have.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good thing. That's a really good thing that you just said. Mrs. Hobby, dying to know what you think about the idea of stepping outside of your comfort zone to do something which you might not feel, you know, really comfortable about doing in the first place.
So that's quite an interesting question. I think lots of parents feel that their children shouldn't step out of their comfort zone, that they want to make sure that they're protected. And at Crown House and within a primary setting, what I would say is that it's the perfect place to step out of your comfort zone. It's a safe environment, and we encourage pupils to have a go at things. And it might be things that they wouldn't normally have a go at, but actually by achieving them, it gives them a better feeling of some more self-esteem, better feeling of self-worth. I think one of the things that we do for year six is they go on an Outward Bound trip, and it's 5 days away, which is quite often the longest time they've spent away from parents. And it's in Wales, in Snowdonia. So there's quite a lot of exciting things there that they do. And that certainly, from what I've seen in the pictures, that you're stepping out of your comfort zone all the time at that point.
Yeah, I love this. And the way that you mention about parents and how we tend to parent, I say we because I've got my own children as well. And the reason I mention my own children very briefly is because I remember my elder daughter one time saying to me about how we often refer to children being the snowflake generation. And she said to me, well, Daddy, you are my dad, and you're one of the parents that brought us up into this snowflake generation. So if that is who we are, then you're the ones who created us that way. Tell us a little bit, Sarah, just before we talk to Siri, about the 11 plus and about the real heart of this podcast episode. I'd love to understand how long you've been in education for and how you got into working in education in the first place.
So I think I've been in education for about 15 years now.
Okay.
So I haven't always been in education. I got into education through quite an interesting route. I have my own children. I have a husband who went from being a banker to retraining to be a teacher. And when I had my children, I was really interested in actually how they learnt, and I really enjoyed being with them. And because he was a teacher as well, it he persuaded me to go into teaching. So I started, I had a degree, I was able to do a part-time PGCE and went from there. I then did a master's after my PGCE because I enjoyed it so much and have enjoyed my teaching career ever since.
Wow. And then just for the sake of anyone listening to this who maybe doesn't know the school quite so well, tell me something about Crown House, just in a nutshell.
So Crown House is a non-selective prep school. We're a small prep school. We're one form entry. And we are in the middle of High Wycombe on the Rye.
Okay. And then we're here today talking about the 11 plus. So I imagine actually that some of the people listening to this, maybe a good chunk of the people listening to this, will have children at the school already. First of all, what actually is the 11 plus? You know, we always talk about the 11 plus. For people who don't know, what is the 11 plus?
So the 11 plus, its actual proper name is a secondary transfer test. And it's a test that people have to pass to go into the local grammar schools.
Okay, great stuff. Perfect. And in a nutshell as well. How does the school support some of the pupils who are preparing for the 11 plus then?
The way that we support it is through curriculum. We support pupils with being able to take assessments and tests so that they actually perform their best within the test. The 11 plus is one morning. It's 2 hours and it can be quite stressful. So we also support their mental health and well-being and just making sure that they're in the best possible place to be able to do the best that they can on that morning.
Tell me a little bit more about it being stressful, because you know, I'm just thinking about, you know, health and well-being of children these days. And some people think that children shouldn't have tests at all. And, you know, there are different opinions on this. What are your thoughts on this?
I think if you look at the current education, the way that we educate our pupils and the way that pupils finish education, everything is based around tests. We have GCSEs, we have A-levels. When they go to university, they also have tests and assessments, although sometimes slightly different, but they still have tests and assessments every single year. So our whole education system is based around assessments and testing. And I think if you go back to children being able to perform in relatively stressful situations, what we want to encourage as a school is to make sure that they can perform in those stressful situations and they take them in their stride and they don't get overstressed, but they actually use it as a way of being able to do the best that they possibly can. So we do prepare them, we do test pupils, we do assess pupils, we do track pupils, and we do that all the way through their school career here. And even in EYFS, in our reception, pupils are assessed through observations. So it's age appropriate, but they have to pass certain milestones at the age of 5. So our system is based all around testing and assessment.
Good answer, Sarah. Good answer to a tricky question there as well. And one that you had no idea that I was going to ask you. So well done for handling that. And clearly the school supports the pupils through this. Tell me a little bit about how the parents can help to support their children who are preparing for this as well.
Well, that's quite an interesting question. So parents, the most support that parents can give is just have a self-belief in the child and give them confidence. Put it in proportion for a child as well. So everything that they do within year 6, it has to be within proportion. If you blow it out of all proportion, then the whole family becomes overstressed. So it needs to be a proportionate stress and support the child in what they're doing and take an interest in their education. I mean, we're really lucky here. All of our parents take a real interest in their children's education. They want to know what's happened during the school day. They're interested in their children enjoying lessons. They want to find out about the most enjoyable thing that they've done during the day. So that's very important. And that's a real positive for our children, because children generally want to please their parents. So if you've got parents that are interested in what they're doing in the day, then that children will respond positively.
Well, let's jump across to the VIP child who's on our podcast recording here right now. Siri, again, thank you for being here. It's great to get your insight into all of these things. This time next year, I imagine your life's going to be looking very different. You'll be in a different school and things will just feel very different for you. Tell me one of the things you're excited about changing schools.
When we go to secondary school, there's probably going to be like a lot more people and that will give us a chance to make new friends. But at the same time, we have to like remember to keep in touch with our old friends.
Are you hoping that many of your friends from Crown House will be joining you in the next school?
Yes, and that will, like, I will see familiar faces. So like not everyone's new, so I will have some old friends.
Yeah, but it must be exciting, the idea of just meeting new people and making new friends as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Are there any things you're a little bit nervous about when it comes to changing schools?
Not really, but probably because of the size of the school, because it goes all the way up till, I think, year 13 or something. So that will be like children a lot older than me. Whereas like in Crown House, I'm like the currently like one of the oldest. But then when I move schools, I'll be like one of the youngest again.
Yeah, it's going to feel very strange going from being the oldest in the school to being the youngest. And if you're joining in year 7 and they go up to year 13, then that's going to be a six or seven year age difference between how old you'll be when you join versus how old you'll be when you leave. And seeing some of the older children who are in school who are significantly older, that's going to be strange, but a great opportunity to learn from them as well. So I'm sure you'll have a really good time. So how long have you been at Crown House for? How old were you when you joined?
So I've been in Crown House since preschool.
Wow. Gosh, that's a long time, isn't it? That's pretty much all of your life.
Yeah.
And tell me how you feel you may have changed as a person from, well, I was going to say from the day that you joined, but you probably don't remember the day that you actually joined. But
no.
But as you've grown up and now you're in year 6, how do you feel you've changed as a person?
I think like Crown House has like made me like a better person. It's like made me like speak out like louder and stuff. And they also taught me new skills to do. I started learning piano because of Crown House.
Wow. And when you play piano, what kind of piano music do you enjoy playing the most?
Probably classical.
Okay, right. How do you feel when you're playing it?
I quite enjoy it, and especially learning like new pieces, it makes me improve my knowledge about it.
And you say that it's because of Crown House that you're playing the piano. Tell me a bit more about that.
So I think I started playing piano like when I was in year 1 or something. And I started learning from the teacher in Crown House. So I used to have lessons from in school. And then as I got older, I started to take like piano more seriously and like went outside of school and started doing grades and stuff.
Oh, well done. Well done. That's very good. Very, very good. And Mrs. Hoppy was talking about the 11 plus. Tell me how you feel as you're preparing for it.
I think I felt very well prepared. So like when the actual exam came, I didn't feel stressed at all. And I felt like I got everything I needed to learn for the 11 plus.
Ah, excellent. Okay, thank you for that. I'm going to jump back to Mrs. Hobby for a second. Sarah, I hadn't actually realised that the 11 plus had already happened. So what time of year does it happen for the children?
So that's one of the other complications about the 11 plus in Buckinghamshire particularly, is the 11 plus actually happens in the first couple of weeks of the term, in the autumn term. So as soon as they're year 6, they have 1 week in school and then they do the 11 plus. So the 11 plus curriculum actually includes all of the year 6 curriculum. So at Crown House, what we do is we condense the whole curriculum so they finish everything that they need to by the end of year 5.
Right. Okay, perfect. So if there's a parent in year 5 right now, then this is really valuable information for them, of course.
It is.
And how do you go about communicating all of the information regarding the 11 plus to the parents?
So we use just the general we send out information to them through our office and through ISAMS, and we try and make sure that everything that we get we give to them in a timely manner. However, because we're an independent school, we don't put the pupils in for the 11 plus. Parents have responsibility for that.
Got it. Right. Okay, thank you for that. And then Siri, just to jump back to you for a second then, what would you say to maybe a pupil in school who's currently in year 5 to, you know, help them prepare for the 11 plus that they'll be doing in a few months' time later this year?
Probably like don't stress too much. All the mocks and all the preparation is there to help you, and like the actual exam will seem a lot easier than all the practice you've done.
Excellent. Thank you for that, Siri. And Sarah, tell me a bit more about how the school goes about preparing the children for this 11 plus, what other things do you do outside of what we talked about?
So not only do we condense the curriculum to make sure that they've covered everything that they need to for the 11 plus, we also help children understand how to take an exam. So, for example, looking at timings, making sure that they don't miss questions out. We also help children understand how to work at home and how to do revision. So making sure that they've got a sensible place in their home, making sure that they understand how to time their revision, how to make sure that they get enough, they do enough revision, particularly over the summer. Because, as you're aware, if the 11 plus happens in September, they need to make sure that they do a little and often over the summer to make sure that they're ready for and fully prepared for the exam.
Okay, right, got it. Thank you for that, Sarah. And Siri, let's jump back to you for a second. Mrs. Hobby there was talking about summertime. Of course, this summer is coming along. I mean, actually, it won't be long before summer's actually with us. I mean, it feels like it's going to be a long time away, but these kind of things tend to come around very, very quickly. What are you planning on doing over summertime, as by then you will have left Crown House and you won't have started at the next school?
Probably have lots of catch up with my friends from Crown House, because then I wouldn't most likely see them much again. But then also little things going on bike rides and walking along, because that's also an important thing, calming your mind, to prepare you for secondary school.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, it doesn't matter whether you're in year 6, year 7 or year 47. It's always good to calm the mind by getting outside, a bit of cycling and a bit of walking. And if you could go anywhere on a summer holiday, Siri, where would you go?
Probably Greece, because I've seen pictures of it and we're learning about ancient Greeks in school. So it would be very nice to go there and see Greece in real life.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. Greece is a beautiful place, especially some of those islands. Some of those islands really are amazing places. Sarah, where would you go if you could go anywhere on holiday, thinking ahead to summer holidays later on this year?
Well, now that's a question. So I'd have to think about where I haven't been recently, and I would like to go to Italy. I think Venice might be quite a good fun place to go. I lived in Malaysia for a bit, so I would definitely look at going back to Malaysia, maybe to Thailand.
Awesome. Okay, I've never been to Thailand. I'd very much like to go. That sounds like an incredible thing to do. That really does. Tell me just very briefly, when were you in Malaysia?
About 8 years ago, I came back from Malaysia. I went out to set up a school, an all-through school called Marlborough College Malaysia. And I was there as a year two teacher, and then I moved, was promoted to being deputy head of the pre-prep, and then I ran a junior girls' boarding house for 3 years. We were there for 3 years. My family went out as well.
Right, gosh, that must have been excellent experience and perfect to bring to Crown House as well in that case.
It was brilliant. Really good time.
Awesome. Okay, well, talking of time, I'm keeping an eye on it right now because I need to release you, Mrs. Hobby, to get back to your duties in school. And Siri, I need to get release you to get back to class. In fact, Siri, are you missing a lesson right now?
Yes.
Gosh, what lesson are you missing?
Math.
Math, is that a good thing or a bad thing to miss a bit of math?
It depends. We were doing algebra yesterday.
Do you enjoy algebra?
Yes, as long as it doesn't get too hard.
Okay, all right, that's fair enough. Well, Siri, best get back to your math lesson, especially if you're missing a bit of algebra right now. But thank you so much for being here. It's been really good talking to you.
Thank you, you too.
And Sarah, it's been great talking to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to find out any more information about the school, then do visit the website. But in the meantime, thank you for listening to this episode. And don't forget to follow or subscribe for future episodes so that you don't miss them. Bye for now.